after the broadcast as we continue with the second hour. Ben Bernanke. Oh, boy. He's the new Federal Reserve Chairman, Ben Bernanke. We're going to hear a lot about him over the years. Ben Bernanke, the Fed Chairman, incoming Fed Chairman. Let's get back to John in Michigan. John, continue with your thoughts.
Chris, I was mentioning the test that my niece received in school. My brother primed her for this, and she took the test and took it home with her. And so if anybody's out there that has children, have children in those in class, ask them about these secret little tests that they give them or word problems that just don't seem right, and have them put them away and tell them that they have to take it home to their parent. And now she is not allowed to be in the class when she takes these, when these tests are given, but because of her move to do this, that my brother has mentioned it to other parents, and now other parents are having their children, the children are being removed too. So they try to make them isolate them from the crowd, and it's all group thinking, which Charlotte will tell you about. Everything is, no individual is allowed to be there as they in the class doing their separate program, because that is not how the new world is going to be run. Everyone will need to have someone else to help them get through life, because they are not given the mechanics of schooling there. It's not a knowledge-based paradigm. The one gentleman that isn't doing it anymore, he's dead broke out in Oregon, and he's the one that talked about rat psychology, Skinner's program, to be enveloped into the education system, and that's what they're doing. They're taking away their tools for problem solving, putting sentences together, communicating, and then drugging the ones that challenge the system, and it's just disgusting, and it's here and in place. We just have to be vigilant in our own hometowns and try to expose it.
Yeah, it's a communitarian network is what it is, and the communitarian network can be accessed on a Google. Communitarianism is what's being engineered in the schools today. It's re-engineered communism. Any last thought, John?
Well, I can probably send you some things that he was using during the mid-90s. They did go to Russia in the 30s for 8 years to research their system, and they brought it here, and it's in place right now, even more draconian than Russia's.
The Sovietization of the American educational system, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. It was an 8-year study in the 30s, and it was scholars from the top teaching colleges that went over there to get their program for our country.
It sounds like vital information everyone needs to hear, John.
Well, I'll try to go back and get it. I pulled my children out, was able to homeschool them through God's blessing. But
wonderful.
We had to relearn that. We had to reteach them a lot of things. They didn't have any skills that they were all stolen from.
And there you have it.
And they were all getting A's, so we were all really just complacent, because everyone was getting A's and there was no problem. And
here I see in the Oklahoman, John, reading skills raise alarm. 40% of state's fourth graders found to lack basics.
Well, let me tell you about that real quick.
Mm-hmm.
When they say read, they have a different language. What they need to read is they need to read that test they give in the fourth grade. Why would it be? They should be able to read in kindergarten. What they do is they take away all that was taught by the parent before they get to school, and they teach them to the test, the state test, which has been given to them through the public funding, the federal funding. And then if they don't do that test right, that's what they mean when they don't read it. They don't answer it right. It has nothing to do with spelling. It's very convoluted with their
okay, language. Look, let's hold you over again.
Okay.
Vital information, listeners. Let's hold John over a little longer. Stay with us, all you callers. Be patient. Okay, welcome back to the broadcast. Here I see in the Oklahoman, dated Thursday, the 20th of October, a national report released Wednesday shows 40% of Oklahoma fourth graders lack basic reading skills, and the percentage of eighth graders with similar proficiency is on the decline. It says the National Assessment of Educational Progress, considered by educators as a national report card, examines The two tests given to students across the country. John, your parting shot on this.
Well, I've reviewed all those tests even when my children weren't in school. And if you go and read those tests, it has nothing to do with the progress in their academic level. All of the writing test in 11th grade is a more of a psychological test. They don't get anything back. It has nothing to do with sentence or paragraph development. It all has to do with scenarios, and then it goes, it's sent off to a different state for review. And if they don't send a grade back, they just tell you if you're proficient or you need more work. And this reading, now I just can go on and on about this, but there's another lady, she has a website, I think it's Barrett Kjos, it's K-J-O-S.
Barrett Kjos.
Barrett Kjos. Well, she has the glossary of terms, because when they speak of learning, they mean to change behavior that exists. And one of the major colleges here in Northern Michigan, Central Michigan U, that is one of their major things to do when they instruct teachers, is to do behavioral modification. And Michigan, Oregon, and Pennsylvania were the pilot states for all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll try to get some information to you as quick as possible. I have it buried away. But Barrett has a lot, and it's just it's something the parents have to become vigilant at. And when you go to challenge the system, they'll say, you're the only one. Well, don't let that make you turn around and back away, because they have really kept this thing a secret through the grade system. And they take the skills away from the children early, very early. They give them calculators. Children don't know how to problem solve, and that's the whole thing with learning or getting knowledge is problem solving, being able to develop sentences for thought process and communication. And the other one that they take away from them, those are the basic, reading with the look-see program without the phonics. That's why these children are so frustrated when they get between 6th and 8th grade, and that's where you have all this trouble. Because everyone can do whatever they want, and it's okay. And they test them again in 8th grade because that's another 4-year progress to see how the emotional part of the child when they're going into their teen years is exposing the moral value clarification that they've done. It has nothing to do with knowledge. Read the test, parents. Go there and read the test.
There you go, John. I appreciate it.
You bet. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you for your help. Oh, boy. It's just amazing how all this is being engineered so well after all these years. And the facilitators that encourage people to follow along because it's the right thing to do. A perfect example of the dumbing down process in English is to listen to the interviews of sports figures on the NFL Network, on any ESPN show. A perfect example of the lack of knowledge of how to structure words is very well eclipsed in ESPN and their interviews, listeners. But they're making lots of money. But that's just a tiny, tiny percent of the population that make it to professional sports. Sean in Indianapolis, let's take Sean next, and then we'll go with Jeff and his information. Sean, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to take issue with what the woman said about people not being able to produce. If they can't produce, they can't consume. Well, some of the most consumer-oriented people are people in comas. They keep, and the chronically ill, they keep the pharmaceutical industry up to snuff. And they consume probably 10 times as much per capita and money-wise as your basic individual.
Uh-huh.
And also, I think the reason why schools and basically the media and everybody is teaching everybody communityism is that we're still a very segregated world, and that maybe if we work together on something, there won't be so much hate because we will be interacting with each other and we won't have any myths or any misconceptions about what one culture is really like.
Well,
so I don't think that there's like a big plot to euthanize chronically ill people. I have a disability, and I don't think anybody's trying to kill me. I consume a lot of medicine, so, I mean, obviously, the more sick people we have in the world, the more big business is going to rake in.
I appreciate your thoughts, Sean.
All right.
Thank you.
Sure.
Let's go to Jeff in New Mexico. Jeff, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello.
Yes.
I have something from Agenda 21, Commission on Sustainable Development.
Uh-huh.
But first, a short disclaimer. I'm for UN flag burning rights and criticism of the United Nations, but in my opinion, this following opinion expressed in a UN session agenda item is good, even compared to the Deuteronomy rule in the Bible that firstborn sons have the right to double inheritance from their dads. And this is what it says in the United Nations. Remove legislative, policy, administrative, and customary barriers to women's equal rights and natural resources, including access to and control over land and other forms of property, credit, inheritance, information, and new technology. So, in other words, the United Nations is not against confiscation of inheritance because it says right there that women have a right to inheritance.
I see. Okay.
And then Scott Ritter was on Alex Jones, and he was the UN inspector, and I think he's somebody that was in the UN that did something good. So I'm just saying, I'm for people having the right to the... Did they burn the flags in Pennsylvania then over the weekend, or...?
I don't know.
Because I know you're...
I promoted it because Bob wanted me to, and I don't know what the outcome of that was.
Yeah, I think they have the right to do that, but then I appreciate you letting me to show you that I really did, you know, what you suggested we guys do out here and really look and see what it's saying.
Very good.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's move to Barney. Barney, how are you today?
Okay, Doc. How are you making?
So far, so good.
I wanted to speak to you about the atomic bombs. You had a question on them. And then as far as Henry Lamb, he believes that treaties supersede the Constitution. I don't know whether he would be a good guest or not. I wouldn't want him. But at any rate, as far as Joan Rion goes, I think she's a tops. And I think if she had to, said she had to go, she had probably had a good reason.
She's reluctant to go on the air because she doesn't get any response, and that's what she's told me. So
is that what she told you?
That's what she told me off the air. So if you listeners out there respond to her, she'll come back.
Uh-huh.
That number, once again, listeners, is 301-371-0541. 301-371-0541 for Joan Vion. And I've offered her my airtime whenever she wants. If she's going to get to people, she's going to get to a lot of people when she's on the air. And that's my feeling.
I know she tries to make every minute count to the utmost. Anyway,
well, good.
On this atomic bomb, it's a lot of material came out. It came out recently on TV, and I'd heard stories before, but this stuff coming out on TV kind of confirms what I heard.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the war, World War II, just the last few months, the United States, England, and Russia sent agents in there to try to get all the top secrets and scientists out of Germany.
Yes.
And what I've heard before is that they got the trigger mechanism for the atomic bomb out of Germany, and then from the Nazis, and then they got a large stockpile of uranium, processed uranium from them. But
Barney, my whole feeling about the atomic bomb was they didn't have to drop it on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They could have dropped it on Iwo Jima and Okinawa. Which would have saved countless Marine lives. War-weary Marines that were war-weary from island hopping in the Pacific. And Here they go through Iwo Jima and Okinawa. Thousands died. Thousands died as the Japanese had the time to dig in on Iwo Jima and Okinawa because they knew they were going to come. They knew we were going to come. And we could have dropped those atomic bombs on Iwo Jima and Okinawa instead of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That was my whole point.
Yeah, well, you see, two good reasons why they didn't. First off, they were an ideal target. They were just rock piles, and the Japs were dug in. And second off, the two cities were ideal targets. And I really believe, from what I've read, that they prolonged the war so they could use them on those two cities for the maximum results.
I believe that, too. I believe that, too. But keep in mind, as we've taken over these islands, Guadalcanal is the first one, we had airstrips. There were B-29s were carpet bombing Japan months before the Hiroshima-Nagasaki attacks.
Yeah, but you see, they didn't have the trigger mechanism for the bombs, and the cruiser in Indianapolis, it was a flagship for the admiral that was helping out up there in Okinawa, and then went to the States and got the bombs and delivered them to.
Okay, hold on. Let's just continue on the other side. We'll be right back. Stay with us, listeners. The Twilight Zone theme. Now we're talking about the the atomic bomb droppings again, the Second World War. Shoot, when you think about the Second World War, you think about the decimation of the military might of Japan. By 1944, it was gone for all intents and purposes. They weren't going to attack any other country. They were sitting ducks, and we had to send our troops to Iwo Jima and Okinawa, where they had years to dig in. And according to the History Channel, all they wanted to do was take out as many of us as they could before they took themselves out. Isn't that correct, Barney?
Yeah, well, the idea is with the History Channel, of course, I don't believe the thing that they have on there, because a lot of the things that I've seen on there, I know... happen contrary to what they say. But at any rate, and I appreciate where you're coming from, and when you ask why they didn't use them on those islands, but I really don't believe they had them. And if you could check and find out, or some one of your callers would tell you when they first tested the atomic bomb, I think it was Alamogordo, New Mexico, that they tested it, and if you found out the date, you'd find out that they didn't have that bomb too long before they used it.
Well, my point is, there wasn't a rush to go to Iwo Jima and Okinawa. There wasn't any rush to do it. They weren't going to do anything but sit and wait.
See, the idea was, Chris, they were planning on, they could have starved and bombarded with surface ships and airplanes Japan out of the war. But they were planning on invading Japan November the 1st, and Japan had a lot more than they thought. And I'd have been in that gang that went in there, and we'd have been really slaughtered.
Well, I've gone over this with Bob Flame, who's not with us any longer, who was a Korean War and a World War II veteran. And the propaganda was in place that, yes, we were going to invade Japan, but we didn't have to even do that.
We didn't have to, but they were planning on it, and if they just did it, Japan had over 12,000 airplanes they could use for kamikazes.
Okay, let me ask you something here. Why did we have to drop two atomic bombs and not just one then?
Well,
wouldn't
one
have made the same statement as two?
Well, the thing is, they wanted to scare the people and use that as a boogeyman. And two bombs, Little Boy and Fat Boy, I think they were called, were delivered to Saipan, and that's what they used. They had five more in reserve.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, once again, we get back to here, Iwo Jima and Okinawa.
Yeah.
Two military islands that were dug in, and we had to take them out, evidently, and many soldiers' lives were lost. Correct?
Right.
And we could have waited until the atomic bombs were ready and dropped them on those two islands. And with the press the way it was, it could have made the same statement, couldn't it? Saved all those innocent lives in Japan?
One thing, see, Japanese had interceptors on those two islands, Okinawa and Iwo, and they wasn't sure, they couldn't be sure they'd get the B-29 by there without it being shot down, for one thing. But the main thing is, even some of the top people in the military didn't know that they had the atomic bomb until the last minute. You know, and the Japanese would have really slaughtered us if we went in there. They had suicide boats, suicide torpedoes, suicide subs.
Well, I don't think there was any reason for us to go and invade Japan, because Japan was decimated during the war. They were decimated. They were, for all intents and purposes, the war was over in 1944. In the Solomon Islands campaign, the Navy was destroyed. They didn't have one aircraft carrier left.
That was in Midway, yeah.
Well, Midway was the turning point of the war in April of 1942.
Yeah, you see, the Marines, the Japanese had never been stopped in any of their wars until the Marines stopped them at Guadalcanal.
That's right.
They whipped every Russians, the Chinese, the Americans, the Australians, the British, every big country in the world, their forces, they whipped them.
Absolutely, and Guadalcanal was the major turning point of the war, as Midway was, the Battle of the Coral Sea. But between August and February of 1942, that was a bloody, bloody, messy war. In Guadalcanal. But we had to get that airstrip in Henderson Field. We had to secure that, because if the Japanese had that airfield, they would have progressed to bomb Australia.
Yeah, well, that's right. And the idea is, up to the Battle of Midway, the Japanese were whipping us in every battle. I mean, they were sinking one ship after the other.
Well, that's because we sent all our aid to Russia at the beginning of the Second World War.
That's right.
The aid that should have gone to the Pacific went to Russia.
Yeah, well, Japanese had a far superior torpedo than we did, and their airplanes were far superior than our planes.
But not for long. Not for long.
Yeah, well, we didn't start getting good airplanes till just about at the end of Battle Midway.
That's right, but that's 1942. We had the P-38, the Hellcat. We had lots of good aircraft. The P-51 came out.
After Midway.
Well, I appreciate your call, Barney. We need to move on.
Okay, buddy.
Thank you very much. We'll be back to continue with the phones, listeners, UN Day listeners. Welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. Joan Vion will be back if you respond to her directions. That number is 301-371-0541. I've given her a standing invitation to take this show whenever she wants. Just take it on her own and just do her thing. 301-371-0541. And she will appreciate your response, as I will appreciate your response. That's 301-371-0541. Let's go back to the telephones. And Sheldon, hello, how are you today?
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted your listening audience to know that I'm going to be starting my own radio show. It'll be on Telstar 5, the same satellite that you use in the evening hours right now.
Uh-huh.
And for anybody out there that thinks it's difficult, it's not very expensive to have your own radio show. All you need is a phone line at home and a KU band dish. And I'll probably be over on Star 5 or Star 6, and I believe you're on Star 2 right now.
I'm not sure anymore.
But I'm going to be over on the same channel that some of the Genesis shows they're going to be putting on, and also James McCanny.
Good. And, very good. You have to make sure the little one's in the other room.
Sorry about that, Chris.
That's okay. It's just for your own radio show. You'll have to make sure she's in the other room. That's all.
Yeah, definitely. And the reason I decided to go ahead and do this, because I don't think this weather modification stuff is getting enough exposure, and it needs to be exposed, because these people are killing thousands of people with their weather control technology right now.
Absolutely. Weather modification and wars are the primary example of creating poverty.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep, I agree.
And if anybody wants to tune into it, it'll probably be on within the next 2 or 3 weeks. That's a Telstar 5 satellite, and all you need is a small 31-inch dish with a digital Ku-band receiver, and you can get the complete package for under $200 if you look on the Internet for it.
Very good.
So,
well done, Sheldon.
Have a good one, Chris.
Thank you. We'll look forward to hearing Sheldon in the future. Dave Wilson. Hello, Dave.
Hello there, Chris. How are you?
I'm fine. I know where you're going to go. Go ahead. Go right ahead.
Well, the gentleman that called in regarding the children being psychologically tested, on your website, under solutions, is his remedy. Notice of parental authority to refuse consent for all this garbage.
Yep, go right ahead.
So, if he's still listening, I suggest he and the other listeners go right to your website, click on solutions, and there you'll find the notice of parental authority to refuse consent.
Yeah, right on the left side, toward the very top.
Mm-hmm.
In our links, right below other links, solutions, it's right there.
Right. As far as the UN's concerned, I have one word to say: screw the UN.
Well, it's a monster that nobody knows about, and they don't want to hear about the UN, and yet it's everywhere, including NASCAR now. I don't know whether the car, and I don't know who's behind the wheel of the car and what team it is, but and I don't know whether they qualify every week, because I don't follow NASCAR any longer, but it just got too boring to watch those things go around and around and around.
Well, I don't recall giving the UN my consent to govern me.
There you go.
They do not govern me.
My whole concern about this is the State Department, the unelected officials in the State Department implementing the U.S. mission to the United Nations. We have no control of that. How do we gain control of that, Dave?
Well, you know what? At the San Francisco conference, wasn't that 1946, Chris?
45,
right. Okay. And who was the first Secretary General of the UN? Alger Hiss, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
A communist, right?
Yes.
The vast majority of all the United States delegates were members of Rockefeller's Council on Foreign Relations.
Correct.
So I think a class action lawsuit should be filed against them for treason.
That would be an excellent idea. A class action lawsuit against the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yes, sir.
If there's people out there that have that ability to fund that direction, they need to step forward now. We don't have time to waste.
Well, I'd certainly be happy to assist.
Well, let's hope we can get there.
I can't financially, but I can write.
Well, that's what I was referring to. These lawsuits, I've had plenty of experience with lawsuits now, and I know they're drawn out over a long period of time, and the judges are in cahoots.
Well, they can be scraped off the bench, too.
There's the point. I think jail for judges is pretty good on that regard.
Yes, they're very good, and their initiative up in South Dakota, I hope and pray, is successful.
And the more that get involved in this direction, the better it will be to get those lawyers in black robes to understand that we're not going to stand for this anymore, this treason that's being delivered to us under the guise of smart community, sustainable development. This Kelo decision is devastating to the American people.
I have a bumper sticker on my truck, by the way, that says, "Help save America. Don't vote for lawyers."
Yeah, that comes from the Constitutional Guardians.
Well, you know what?
They're on our site, by the way, as well.
Yeah, here in Arkansas, we have the Attorney General going to run for governor. He is a member of the bar. Where is the separation of powers?
There it is. Where is it?
Well, That is blatantly, in my mind, illegal, unconstitutional.
Yep.
And a few other things. But
I appreciate your thoughts, Dave.
God bless, Chris. Keep up the great work, brother.
God bless you, and thank you so much. Let's move to Elizabeth in Maryland. Hello, how are you today, Elizabeth?
Just fine. I'm Elizabeth Border, the talk show host in the evening on WWRB.
Wonderful.
And thrilled to have your network on WWRB. I wasn't too familiar with it, Chris, and I've been listening now to, I've only heard a few of John's programs. Yesterday was just terrific, and I was really interested in your program with Dr. Boyd Graves and the programs with Don Harkins, and I just want to say welcome.
Well, thank you so much.
And I also have a book sometime if you want to interview me. I'd love to come on. And could I tell your listeners when they can hear me? Our program is a small program financed by my husband and me. And I've been through quite a few health struggles, too, so I identified with you. Could I tell them when to hear us?
Certainly.
Thank you. 5.745 is the frequency, and we're on from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, Monday through Thursday. Monday through Wednesday is an hour. Thursday is only a half hour. And then on Sunday evenings, we're on at 9:30 p.m. on 3.185. And we do a little satire, too. You know we have to keep each other's spirits up. And, Chris, I really think more people are joining. But one of my characters is Sally Lou Pockets. And Sally Lou is the hypocrite minister's wife. And she's flying her UN Day flags on her SUV because she thinks whenever the whole system comes in, her husband, Pastor Pat Pockets, will be elected czar of the worldwide ecumenical movement. But you know, Chris, sometimes she has second thoughts when she thinks about the Hitler times when they took the little children by the arms and legs and threw them in the truck. Then Sally Lou isn't quite so sure that she wants to go along with this system, Chris. So that's one of my characters, Chris. And we just really appreciate what you're doing. And when Joan Vion was giving her excellent information, I thought that maybe your listeners were not familiar with the Global Biodiversity Assessment document. In Section 12.2.3 states, could I read two paragraphs?
Go ahead.
Thank you. The Western world view is characteristic of large-scale societies heavily dependent on resources brought from considerable distances. It is a world view that is characterized by the denial of sacred attributes of nature, which became firmly established about 2,000 years ago with the Judeo-Christian Islamic religious traditions. The world view of traditional societies tends to be strikingly different from the modern world view. They tend to view themselves as members of a community that not only includes other humans, but also includes plants and animals, as well as rocks, springs, and pools. People are then members of a community of beings, living and non-living. Thus, rivers may be viewed as mothers. Animals may be treated as kin. The many restraints on the use of natural resources, protection of sacred sites, may have evolved culturally in response to the need to ensure more sustainable use of biological populations and conservation of biological diversity. And I don't know about you, but I think I'm worth more than a wolf or a rock.
Yeah, we're being compared to rocks. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it really is. And the one caller you had, a prior caller today, I didn't want to scare her, but I do think there's enough documentation that a world population reduction movement is underway with chemtrails. And by the way, my book, I'd love to come on sometime and be interviewed by you for an hour.
What's your book?
My book is Patriots Warning 1, and the second book, they're a set. The second book is Patriots Warning 2, Chaos and Chemtrails.
Hmm.
First one is America Attacked, and in the first one, I go into some of the educational changes, some of the religious background, and actually the story of the Flight 93 Bible, which not too many people know about.
Do you have a website?
Yes, but I'm not sure it's working too well right now. And I have been in contact. I called John Statmiller one day, and I'm going to be sending him a book. And I'd be happy if you guys look it over to let you have it to sell it. Radio Liberty has it. You know,
okay.
I'm a friend of Dr. Stan. I think he is very true blue. But I really like your network. It's very refreshing to me, and I get a very sincere sound from all of it. So, you know, I am somewhat known. I'm not a famous person like Joan Vion in the Patriot community yet, but I'm doing my little part, and I have been interviewed on Call to Decision and by Dr. Stan 3 or 4 times. So anytime you'd want me to talk about my information, by the way, a lot of it is documented from Don Harkin's newspaper.
Uh-huh. Why don't you plan on coming on this week? What's a good day for you?
Well, any day. What's best for you?
Wednesday's fine.
That would be great. What time, Chris?
2 o'clock Central.
Great.
Okay.
Now, should I call you, call the number, or will you call me?
You're welcome to call this number or leave your number with the board operator, and we'll call you, whatever you prefer.
Doesn't matter.
That'll be this Wednesday.
All right.
Okay.
Should I just stay on the line and give them my number?
Why don't you?
Well, thank you so much and welcome.
Very good. Thank you, Elizabeth. Let's go back to John. John, welcome.
Chris, I apologize for taking up more time, but I just would like to respond to the one gentleman. He's right that parents can refuse this, but this is given to children without any parental knowledge. And so the parents don't even have a clue as to what's taking place in the class because none of this information gets taken home. It's not graded on. It goes in their portfolio. And for the high school proficiency test, they took the money that they got from the tobacco settlements and tied it to that test because so many parents were becoming aware of what was taking place.
Wow.
That they said, well, if your child takes this test and they pass it, they'll get $2,500 scholarship for college.
My goodness.
These people are coming in from all different angles, and of course it's illegal to have psychological testing.
So in other words, the parents may not be aware that this is even happening.
That's exactly what I am trying to expose, is that they have to go there, read the curriculum. The curriculums are tied to the test, which is developed by behavioral psychologists in the region that their school, their state is in. This whole country is broken up into educational regions, and the whole curriculum is there to change behavior and values that have been established, and it's totally, totally disgusting. And also to dumb down the kids to take away their problem-solving skills. And thank you, and God bless. And be vigilant, parents. Go and read those tests. Your child may not be getting an A. Have them read to you to see if they can read, really read, and have them develop a sentence and a paragraph and see if they can do a small book report, because these are the things that will show that they are not getting what they're supposed to be getting.
Very, very good. Very important, John. Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, vital. Vital. In other words, the parents may not even be aware because the husband and wife are off working to try and support the family because it's so expensive to maintain a family today. And there's where the crux of the situation is. A perfect example is Darren Weeks, and his homeschooling desires had to be shuffled into the public school because both the husband and wife could not sustain, and that's a bad word, could not keep the educational system going in their household, so they had to put the children in public schools. Sad commentary for our country listeners, and there it is. John, or Roger. Hello, Roger.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, not so much a substance, but a programming note is I just noticed this last Saturday that RBN has now a pretty full lineup there on the same frequency of 11.920, filling that vacuum on Saturdays. I think it ran up to about 7 p.m. Eastern time. And just to throw in now that 50-50 frequency that RBN will be picking up shortly, you might catch, if the folks don't catch Elizabeth at 5.745, sometimes they give her a gratis, also on 50-50 broadcast. And I was, I don't know if you, how prevalent the problem is, but that band drops out like the last hour of Statmiller.
Well, it just depends on the location.
Yes, I was hoping they'd be getting a lower frequency, at least for the last hour of the show, maybe even second last hour. And God bless you all.
Thank you, Roger. So the situation is quite apparent on UN Day, listeners, quite apparent. And I look at some information I'm trying to send to someone who's going to be doing a presentation on Halloween, and I've compiled a lot of paperwork. And I see the implementation of Agenda 21 and the outcomes of the World Summit on Sustainable Development. This is from Ambassador Sitchin Siv, U.S. Representative to the United Nations Economic and Social Council. And they talk about at the World Summit on Sustainable Development, the WSSD, the international community called on the UN Commission on Sustainable Development to reshape itself by placing more emphasis on actions that enable implementation at all levels. This is dated October 20th, 2003, just exactly 2 years ago. Weather modification, when you think about this, They say the WSSD, the international community, called on the UN Commission on Sustainable Development to reshape itself by placing more emphasis on actions that enable implementation at all levels. Well, how can you get actions without creating the problem? And here we have Hurricane Wilma wreaking havoc on the East Coast now, having wreaked havoc in Florida. We have Katrina and Rita. And so we have these situations right in front of our eyes, listeners. And that's where the paramount direction to expose this is directed, in my opinion. It says, in this past May, the commission responded by adopting a series of path-breaking reforms. They are a necessary step towards making the United Nations more responsive and relevant to the needs of all, especially developing countries. Well, what did Pakistan just receive? An earthquake. Was it by natural means or was it created, listeners? There's where the crux of the situation lies, with Secretary of Defense Cohen making these statements that creation of earthquakes is a reality. We'll be back to wrap it up with Paul in Florida. Stay with me. Briefly, listeners, back to this implementation of Agenda 21 and the outcomes of the World Summit on Sustainable Development. They say at the CSD's 11th session, members agreed to limit the number of negotiations and to focus on how the international community, governments, international organizations, civil society, and the private sector can work together to achieve our ambitious and critical objectives. What are they talking about? Public-private partnerships. Okay, Paul in Florida. Hello, Paul.
Boy, we really got whacked yesterday.
I'll bet.
It was started up in the early morning. The highest gust was here in Pompano. It's about 120 miles an hour. I had some roof damage and some, you know, the trees are down and everything, but they're just in the process of assessing the damage right now. But it seems like this time FEMA's got it pretty well under control. I got about 225 trailer trucks full of stuff down at Homestead Air Force Base.
FEMA's looking very good right now. They're not the omnipotent direction that they were set up to be. Right now, FEMA has a very friendly face, according to the press, anyway.
Yeah, they seem to have it pretty well handled. And we've got electrical crews on the way from probably 35 states. They're probably moving down right now. Actually, the sun's coming out right now. The worst of it was out of here by 1 o'clock. But I'll tell you, when that thing got cranked up this morning between like 5 and 9. I tell you, that's the worst one I've ever been through.
Mm.
That is bad. There wasn't much rain with it, though. There's no flooding here. It was mostly a wind event.
There's flooding somewhere there, though, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Actually, we had worse flooding here in Oakland Park. I think it was Thursday morning when a far distant feeder band from this same storm came through. And the flooding was terrible, but I haven't gone too far. I mean, I went out and looked up and down the street, and I don't see any large amounts of standing water around here, but
well, keep in mind, the fact of the matter is that these can be steered away from harm's way. That's why the direction to invent that direction came into place. They can be steered out of harm's way, being that they're in harm's way. That has a real scenario to its outcome, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would think so. I couldn't see why they'd want to steer one this way, because there's no oil rigs around here. There's no oil refineries. All we got is a really big oil dump down there at Port Everglades in Miami, and that's where a lot of the fuel comes in. But as far as really relevant economic infrastructure that would, you know, affect the whole country, there's really not a heck of a lot down here. I think this one was natural.
Well, the point is, as the rebuilding effort comes into place, more wetlands will be created, as they're short of building wetlands, according to certain government reports. And the rebuilding process will all be under the guise of smart growth, which is all part of Agenda 21. So,
yeah,
that you know, natural. I can't buy that. And
we'll see what Scott Stevens says, and I'm sure he'll be on somebody's program and see if he can find any signatures on this system.
We'll try and get Ben Livingston on tomorrow. Is what we'll try and do.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay. Bye
bye. We'll try and get Ben Livingston on tomorrow. We have that phone number now, and trying to get his read on the situation and circumstance. I believe he still works for Weather Modification Incorporated, which is something that I covered many years ago, Weather Modification Incorporated, which is just part of it. There's other companies that produce weather anomalies for a price. And we'll be back tomorrow at the same time slot, listeners. Pay attention on our website, AmericanExpose.com, and good afternoon. Thank you.